Well, I was asked to give the stewardship sermon today. So lucky you. It's, of course, good timing because this is right before our big 75th Diamond Jubilee Stewardship Dinner Celebration, which is this Saturday evening. I'm so excited about it. We're going to have a wonderful time. First of all, we have a wonderful speaker who happens to be here today. The Reverend Everett Lundgren with Volunteers of America is going to be there. So go and say hi to Rev Ev, as he says, after this service. He'll be with us. We have an incredible video that Sue Caldwell has put together. And anyway, of course, good food, and we still need to sign up. So anyway, that's my plug for that. But I was really on board with this. I'm ready to do my stewardship sermon. And then I read the text for the day, those passages, and went, oh, no. There are no good stewardship passages in these assigned texts. So I said a prayer, and I turned my attention to the gospel story in Matthew, in Jesus' parable of the wise and foolish bridesmaids. And the more I contemplated it, the more I realized for the first time, that's actually a story about stewardship. In this case, the bridesmaids' stewardship of their oil and their lamps. The good stewards, of course, are the wise bridesmaids, who had taken the time to plan ahead and were prepared. They had plenty of oil to keep their lamps burning. While the foolish bridesmaids, the bad stewards in this story, had not taken the time or planned or saved or thought at all about any extra oil for their lamps. And so were totally unprepared and ultimately absent when the groom returned and it was time for the wedding banquet. Now, I never noticed before in this story that even the subject of money comes up. Did you see it? It's because the foolish bridesmaids have to go back to the dealers and buy more oil. Now it's like midnight, probably at a much higher price, right? Which is also poor stewardship. So I think there's a couple other lessons to be learned in this story. But before I dig in a little more, I want to just refresh our memories about what stewardship really is. So first, stewardship, rightly understood, is a spiritual practice. For instance, we are called to be good stewards, not only of our church, St. Dunstan's, but of our own lives, our homes, our families, the wider world, creation itself, and of course our finances. It's all encompassing. The dictionary definition of stewardship is this: the conducting, supervising, or managing of something, especially, here's the part I like, the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. So in essence then, anything and everything that has been entrusted into our care makes us stewards, stewards of that. God has blessed us, we know, with many gifts, and they're all from God. They're all entrusted to us, whether it's time, talent, or treasure, right, as we say. But in essence, stewardship then is not in any way an isolated thing. It's not something we do at a certain time of the year. It is not something that is relegated to just one area of our lives. It is about a whole way of living and being and relating to God and one another and our community and our world. Understanding then, like it or not, we are already stewards of all we have been given responsibility over. The question then isn't whether we will be stewards. We already are stewards. The question is whether we'll be good stewards or bad stewards in the limited time we have in our portion of this world. We are the bridesmaids, so to speak, who have a very important role. And I will underscore that. Having had a wedding in June, I can assure you the bridesmaids are very important and very necessary. When Mark and I got married, my bridesmaids were so essential. I would just note that Jesus doesn't tell a story about the groomsmen. I I think it's because, as most brides know and could probably assure you, the bridesmaids might be more essential to what happens at that wedding. It was my bridesmaids who were up at the crack of dawn, decorating for the reception, testing out the karaoke machine, making sure the flower girls had their baskets, pinning boutonnieres on the men, assisting with the flowers, keeping everybody moving and on time. I do think the groomsmen showed up at some point to get their photos taken. But we are the bridesmaids. We have an important job. We need to be good stewards of what we have been entrusted so that we can fulfill our calling, because the wedding banquet doesn't last forever. And once it's over, it's over. And we don't want to miss it. This lifetime, it's our shot. So how can we be good stewards, not the bad stewards? Because it's clear we need to follow, I think, some principles, some spiritual principles. And the first principle is cultivating gratitude. Martin Luther was once asked, "What is the true nature of worship?" And his response was simple. He said, "It is the 10th leper turning back." If you remember the story, Jesus heals 10 lepers, but only one goes back to say thank you. Right? So the others lack gratitude, or at least didn't take the time to act on it, even though Jesus had just given them this most amazing gift of healing. One turns back to say thank you. And we too have been healed by God of many things. We have been given good gifts. Most importantly, we've been healed from the power of sin and death through Jesus Christ and his work on the cross, as our children reminded us. We've been talking about this stewardship Bible verse. "Indeed, I have a goodly heritage," as we think about our 75 years together. But it reminds us that God has brought so much healing and has provided for us in so many ways. We have so much to be grateful for here in this community and in our own personal lives. So yes, cultivate gratitude. Second principle of being good stewards is to live by faith. Live by faith, knowing that God will take care of us. God will take care of you. And I once witnessed this kind of powerful faith when I was the rector of St. Albans in El Cajon. It was when that first surge of refugees were coming in to the area from Myanmar. And there were a number of our families at the church, these refugee families, that were so impoverished. They were struggling every month just to get enough food and groceries. And of course, we were trying to help and meet needs. But we had this stewardship campaign and the stewardship season. And I remember one of the refugee fathers coming up to me after the service and handing me an envelope of money and a pledge card. And I knew he had next to nothing. And it brought tears to my eyes. And my knee-jerk reaction, what I wanted to say or do, was to hand it back to him and go, no, please take it. We do not need your money. You need it more. But he had handed it to me with such joy and dignity and pride. So I bit my tongue and was reminded Jesus didn't stop that widow who gave her mite, her last mite, when that was all she had. Her act was an expression of heroic faith and holiness. The widow wanted and needed to give away her last mite because she believed what she had would be best served by giving it to God. And that's what he was doing. That was a holy moment, and I saw this man live out his faith by giving back to God. I'll never forget it. So second, we give by faith. The third principle that leads to being good stewards is that willingness to sacrifice, like I mentioned to the kids. Most people give out of their excess, whatever they don't really absolutely need, the leftover, the extras. And that isn't true sacrifice. One of the most helpful things I ever heard about stewardship came from a priest colleague of mine who just said this one sentence, and it's never gone away in my head. He just said this: in stewardship, we should give enough that it hurts a little. And I think it's a pretty good measure when we think about giving. And I don't just mean giving financially. Giving our time, our talent, our treasure, even pledging. If it doesn't hurt at least a little, we're not really making a true sacrifice of thanksgiving to God. And like I said, it can be in many ways. But we embrace this call to sacrifice in the way that Jesus demonstrated for us. We all have something to give. We give because God asks us, and God has entrusted us with many different kinds of gifts. We all have the ability to engage in this spiritual practice by cultivating gratitude, by acting in faith, and by being willing to sacrifice. So this time in the church year, of course, is our annual invitation to make a financial commitment to the church in the form of a pledge by filling out one of those pledge cards in the pew or that you got in the mail. And just doing that is an act of faith. I know it is. And so, without biting my tongue, and with the image of the widow's mite and the refugee father firmly in my mind, I boldly invite you to make a pledge this year as an act of thanksgiving and faith in God. Together, we get to be the wise bridesmaids. We plan ahead. Our lamps will be trimmed and burning, ready for what God has for us, and being good stewards of what God has given and entrusted us. Thanks be to God.